We're starting a new series called Back to the Basics, And I know a lot of times when we hear that phrase, sometimes what we can think is well, this will be simple stuff, as in simple-minded things. I don't know that it's so simple-minded as much as it is it takes effort, and it's one of those things that we walk away from going, you know, why haven't I been doing that? You know, that's such a basic part of life, or that's a basic part of my spiritual life. Why am I not doing that? And so we're going to talk through over these next several weeks different topics on really what are some of the basics of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now then, will we cover every single one of them? No. But I think we'll cover some ones that we all walk away from here going, you know, that is a basic. Why am I not a part of that? Why am I not doing it? I know to do this, you know? I know to do this. And I've fallen off, you know? I've slacked off in some areas. So we're going to look this morning. I wanted to go back to 1 John chapter 5 because we talked about it as we went through the 1 John series and ended it last week. But I wanted to use these verses because I'm sure that as we walked through there, people were going, hey, wait a second. What is all that about? And we didn't have enough time to really walk through it. So 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, it's on page 1055 there in the Bibles in front of you. And while you're turning there, our topic today is prayer, okay? And again, when we talk about basics, we all know, okay, we're supposed to be praying, right? Well, this isn't a surprise for anybody, I don't think. Because here's the bottom line. Buddhists pray. Taoists pray. Believers pray. And guess what? Even non-believers will pray. Because the thought is, well, can it really hurt? You know? And how many people have you known that are not really interested in Christianity, but if some tragedy happens, they're open to prayer because what could it really hurt? Okay, is interesting. A recent study was done, a Gallup poll was done, and some 90-something percent of Americans said they pray, listen to this, on a daily or every other day basis. So this whole notion of people don't pray or, you know, only Christians pray or whatever else, 90-something percent said, yeah, I'll say a prayer. Now then, we all know that some of those prayers can be, you know, a little selfish, right? We've all been there. We want a certain parking space, you know, in front of the mall or whatever, you know, or if you're a guy like me, you know, a way to get out of the mall, you know, quickly. Lord, please have that pair of jeans right there so that we can get in there and get out and get going, right? When we go to the store, guys, we're on a mission. You know, people are there, you know, women are there to enjoy the environment of it, okay? We're like, no, we need meat, we need bread, we need bone. Man, we want to be on a mission. And so sometimes we pray some of these prayers that are a little bit selfish, a little bit weird. But it's amazing how many people say they pray, but what does that mean? Are we supposed to pray more? Is that the goal? Because the bottom line is that Buddhists pray, Taoists pray, Hindus pray, non-believers pray. So what's the difference? Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13, because this sets it up. I was talking last week about how if you don't have nailed down your salvation, okay, if you don't have that nailed down, it's going to affect every area of your life. And one of the ones I mentioned was prayer life. And the reason is because how John wrote this. So listen to 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Now notice how he starts the next sentence. He starts it with and. And. In other words, if you don't have this, nailed down, you're going to struggle. So he says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. So let's just kind of talk about those verses this morning as it relates to prayer. Now, we're not going to cover every aspect of prayer and facet of prayer, but I think we're going to discover some things here that makes Christian praying a little bit different, okay? First question I usually have, either I ask or someone asks of me, is this. Why do we pray if something is already in God's will? You ever thought about that? I have. I'm like, you know, this is weird. I mean, what did the scripture just say? If we ask anything according to his will, you know, well, it's like, no, duh. I mean, if it's his will, it can't stop it, you know. So what's the point? Why would I pray? It just sounds like God is so motorized, you know, that he's more thinking God than he is heart God. And yeah, we come across those scripture passages that says God is full of compassion and full of mercy. We go, yeah, okay, I get all that. But really, it's all about his will, and I can't stop it, so why would I even pray? What is the point? You ever asked that question before? Man, I do a lot. Because I'm like going, man, if it's your will, what's the point of me praying? Here's the point. You can either allow God to use you, or he's going to use somebody else. His will is established and will be established. But the point is, are you going to be on mission with God? Are you going to be part of that? I don't know if you've heard this saying or not, but people will talk about, you know, the best you can do is what? The best you can do, right? And that's a good saying, you know, like, hey, you got to put forth good effort, and then at the end of the day, that's all you can do. But I've kind of reached the stage now where I'm like going, you know, I don't know that I want to settle for that. What I want to settle for is the best I can do is the best God can do. And whenever we get real flippant in our prayer life and we're just like, well, God's going to do his thing anyway. True. God's will, you cannot circumvent. But it's all dependent on whether you want to have significance and meaning and purpose in life, or do you just want to float through life and just kind of have a nice life and retire and hang out on the beach when you're 60-something years old and show up at 3:30 to go to the early, you know, dinner thing, you know? If that's what life is all about to you, you can accomplish that, okay? Every one of you in here are much more talented, much smarter than the average one out there. You guys are sharp. You could do that. You set your mind to it, you could do that. But is that what life is really all about? Is that what distinguishes you from someone else? Is that a purposeful life? I think all of us would walk away from here and say, you know, for a week that sounds like fun, but after a little while, if sand gets everywhere and people are running around with Speedos on that shouldn't, you know, and it's just bad visual images, you know. And if that's all that life is about, you can achieve it. Every single one of you sitting in here can achieve that. But is that going to be God's mission for you? I don't think so. And I think that's why so many people die empty. And we've got churches filled with empty people because they're just checking in on Sunday and then doing something the rest of the week, checking in on Sunday and doing whatever the rest of the week. And what God is calling us to be is on mission with him, where we don't just see our job as a place that we work that one day we'll get retirement from, and if we do this, this, and this, and this, we'll retire somewhere, but that we will have significance in life. Here's your GPS for this morning, your good practical stuff. Prayer is discovering the heart of God and placing ourselves in the middle of the dreams of God. I want you to listen to that again. Prayer is discovering what is on the heart of God and placing ourselves in the middle of the dreams of God. This last Sunday evening, as we were getting prepared for the preview service for Gateway West, we were driving over there, and as fate would have it, you parents know this, our child decides to fall asleep 2 minutes from being at where you need to be, and the child needs to be awake. But we all know what happens if you wake that little thing, okay? They become a giant that controls everyone, okay? It's amazing. You know, they're so little, but man, they control it all. Don't fool yourself. I know some of you are like, no, my kid won't do that. you just wait. And so, you know, you got this little bundle of joy in the back there, and I look back, and there's Josiah, man, and 2 minutes before we get there, we're doing everything we can to keep him awake. We're, woo, hey, Josiah, we're going to tickle you, we're going to get you, and man, he fell asleep. So we arrive there, and I know I've got some things I've got to do. Sherry's in the worship team. I'm like, man, what are we going to do? He's asleep. This is not going to be good. This is not when this is supposed to happen. And so we get out real quietly, and I'm like, well, Sherry, I guess what I can do is this. You've got to be on the worship team, so I'll just hold him and, you know, and try to do some other stuff one-handed or whatever. Or maybe I can hand him off to somebody that, you know, that can kind of watch him or whatever. And no sooner than we did the quiet door closing thing, okay, you'll learn that. You do the quiet door closing thing. We open up the back door. His eyes open up and he goes, what is that? You know what was that was? It was a playground, man. It was like he had died and gone to heaven. He was super, he went from this, I mean just out to, what's that? And I look over and I see the playground. I'm like, man, this dude thinks he's in heaven, you know? And it was at that moment I knew what I was going to be teaching on for this Sunday. And I thought, you know, that's what it should be like as a believer. That when we wake up, that it's like God's got this cool thing right in front of us that we go, what's that? And we realize we were destined for this moment, you know? It's God's kind of playground. And I'm not just saying that it's all play, but what I'm saying is this, we ought to be just like, whoa, this is what I've lived for. Instead, so many times what we're doing is we don't even know what's on the heart of God and we don't really care. We know what's on our heart. We know what we want to tell God, but we don't have a clue as to what's on the heart of God. Because a lot of times we look at God as this willful guy, this cognitive guy, but there's not really much heart. And he's got a little bit, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? Okay, we know that part. But that's just a really small part of God. And what God is saying to us is, look, I want you to know my will because I want you in the middle of it. And what you don't understand is you have pushed me away so much that no wonder your life has lost purpose. And while it looks exciting from the outside and people are going, wow, look at all that they're doing on the inside, you're dying. And you don't have much meaning and you don't have much purpose. And God's wanting us to have some what's that moments where we wake up and we go, wow, there it is, God's will, and I get to be part of it. But if you're like me sometimes, God's will sounds dull and painful. And while I will tell you this, sometimes it is painful. It's not always the playground. It's always meaningful. It always has significance. It always has purpose. The other question that I sometimes have asked or ask myself is this. Why are some prayers answered and some not? Why are some prayers answered and some not? My aunt has had a bout with cancer. She's just 41 years old. Found stomach cancer, man. It was the size of a grapefruit and growing. She's a little lady, man. Little. Doctor told us about, it's probably 4 or 5 months ago, she's got about a 40% chance. Like, whoa. So we were pretty much preparing ourselves for, these were probably the last days, you know. And we prayed for her. Other people prayed for her. The leaders of the church, they came by her house. They prayed for her. Everybody was praying. And as I was talking with my uncle, you know, that they're all praying in faith, I just asked him. I said, hey, man, I said, just between you and I, where are you really at on this thing? Because if it, you know, I'm not trying to put the negative on here, but reality is not every prayer for healing gets answered. And he said, well, He said, here's where I'm at on it. He said, we're praying in faith. We know that God can heal. We already know that. We've come to that conclusion. God can heal. But if not, we know that a complete healing will happen at the time she passes from this life to the next. And I was like, okay, I just want us to walk through that. Okay, I don't want us to dwell there too long, but I just want us to walk through that door just to make sure, or else what can happen is you can become embittered towards God where you just think, if I have enough faith, that boom, it's going to happen. Because I've had other friends that have had cancer, and we prayed just as hard, and we had just as much faith, and it didn't happen. And I want you to know, this last Wednesday when she went in, it was a 7-hour surgery, okay? It was not a small deal. 7-hour surgery, and everything that we prayed for, God did answer in this case. So we're rejoicing, man. We're excited. The pathology report's already come back and said they got it all. She's going to go through 6 more months of chemo just to make sure, kind of an insurance policy deal. But here's what I knew, and this is what Sherry and I talked about. Why does one die and another live? What about for some of you singles? Why does one get married and another don't? I was talking to Jason Brumbaugh this last week, and we were talking through some of those things. And I said, hey, Jason, I said, here's my take on the whole singleness, getting married issue. I think we just were a better deceiver than somebody else. You know, we kind of convinced the other person, I'm really great, and you weren't. And it's like, oh, too late. You know, you married me. And he laughed, and he goes, dude, that is so true, because I totally made Carrie look silly, you know? And I was like, you know, we've all been saying that in private. It's good to kind of have that out in the open now, you know? And we laughed about that and that sort of thing. But a lot of it's true. And I want you to know, if you're a single person that comes here, I don't look at you as some one-legged person that when you come in, you're kind of hopping around in life. And if you just get married, you'd finally get to the status of somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of deceiving going on in dating, all right? And those who got married are like, you know, you're right, you know? He's really not all that, and he's not. And we tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. And we get these statuses, but at the same time, these singles walk through life going, man, what's wrong with me? Why is God against me? And I will tell you that not everybody that got married was in God's will. And not everybody that got married, married right. So don't think that you're a one-legged person looking for another somebody to come along so that you now have two legs and can walk normally. You're a full person in my eyes, and I know in God's eyes. What about by those who can't get pregnant? Man, you look around, everybody else is getting pregnant, but you, oh. Man, we've got some friends like that. Got a friend that, man, they have prayed to get pregnant for years now. Probably, I want to say 4 to 5 years at least. Got pregnant about the same time Sherry and I did. Lost the baby 1 week before Sherry and I did. It's like, man, with all the teen pregnancies, come on, God, these are people that love you. You ever ask those questions? Those are good questions to ask. I don't know the whole answer. Sherry and I have talked about it a lot. I don't know. I do know this. When someone says to us now that they lost one, I feel it. When a single says to me, man, I can't find somebody, or I can't find someone good, I know what that's like. I wasn't a spring chicken. I just knew how to deceive Sherry long enough, you know, that I got married, right? Now then she's like, what in the world? I'm like, sorry, babe. But there was 100-something people there, and they heard you say I do. So you cannot say I don't, all right? It is too late. Why do those things happen? It's very frustrating. As a pastor, man, I look out, and I just hurt for people. I will tell you this. The best people to minister are those who have been through the most grief. And it's in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, that talks about You know why we've gone through this heartache? So that we can minister to others. When you go through heartache, I mean, this isn't a consolation prize, okay? It's just part of it. When you're single for a long time, you can identify with other singles. When you go childless, you can identify with those people that go childless. When you have crazy kids, you can identify with other people who have crazy kids. When you go through tough times, know this. Now, again, this is not a consolation prize, all right? It's not. But you're going to be able to say, I can maybe help you with that. I want to be of help if I can. And do it humbly, okay? But when you say, I know how you feel, you actually do. And so sometimes God's will isn't a playground. Sometimes it's not, what's that? But what is that? And it's God's will. And it can be painful. It can hurt. It can be devastating. One lives, another dies. One goes childless. A teenager gets pregnant. You just go, man, what is going on? God's calling us to be a part of who he is so that we can help other people. I know for me, I've always viewed the Lord's Prayer just kind of this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and you just kind of go through the thing, you know? And then one day someone pointed out to me and said, have you ever noticed that Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And we just kind of gloss over that, right? You know, yeah. And this friend of mine looked at me and said, you know, from that verse, you know what that tells me as believers we are to do? We're supposed to bring heaven here. When you pray that prayer, you know what you're praying? You're not just praying, oh yeah, God's will be on earth as it is in heaven. You know what it's saying? God, place me in such a way that I bring a lot of your heaven to this planet that doesn't have a lot of heaven. That when we wake up and we pray that kind of prayer, that God is calling us on mission, and it's not just, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that it's saying, God, I want to be that person that brings that kind of good stuff in my workplace, in my home, to my neighbors, to communities like what we'll be ministering to this week. In that West 52nd in Detroit area, you know what we're doing? We're not just praying the prayer. The prayer results in being on mission with God. It goes back to our GPS. We discover what's on the heart of God so that we can live out the dream of God. You know what the dream of God is in the inner city? That we can go and give them some good news. And yes, sometimes it's through cotton candy. Sometimes it's through popcorn. Sometimes it's through a bounce house. Because guess what? That may be one of the most spiritual things you do this year is to hand out cotton candy to a little kid that probably doesn't get much good news. That we can connect them to an inner city church over there that we know and that we love. So that those people can hear not only, hey, you know, there's good things here at Wessam and all the things they're doing, and hey, we as Gateway want to serve the city, but there is a church right here that can minister to your spiritual needs. That's what it's like to be in prayer with God. It's not just saying some words and then going about the day, but it's saying, what's that? And on Wednesday, and when we do the Warehouse District Festival and all those other things, that's what we're trying to do. It's bigger than funnel cakes, although those are really good. I'll be honest with you, I look forward to that. I love the cotton candy. I love all those other things. But what it is finding out what's on the heart of God to be a part of the dream of God. And I don't know what your prayer life is like. A lot of times mine is not great. It gets more professional than it does devotional. In other words, as a pastor, sometimes I'm praying about so many things with the stuff of the church that I'm not really praying more things of like God day-to-day stuff, you know? And if you're like me, it can become really professional and just really, hey, God, be with this. Here's what I want to give to you. I want to give you two things, two questions this morning, and then we're done. Let me help you out just a little bit with your prayer life, because a lot of times it's like, well, I tried praying, and I'm not really sure if I got anything answered. Here's the questions that you need to ask. Two questions. First one is this. Have you prayed specifically? And in praying specifically, did you write it down? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm one of the world's worst at this. In the last few weeks, I've really gotten with it. And here's what I've discovered with Back to the Basics. You can have all the goals that you want to in life, not just spiritually, but even, hey, I want to retire and live on the beach in Florida. Great. You can have that as a goal. What are the disciplines you've put into your life to make it happen? Because what I've discovered is this. Goals are wonderful. You will never get there without discipline. We don't like that word, but here's what I know. The greatest teams in the world have the greatest discipline. But no one likes to show up for 5 a.m. practice. No one likes to run line drills, do they? But when we watch a team play and we go, wow, look at that. Most people don't understand. They didn't just roll out the ball and, hey, you know, let's just have a great time. Just shoot a bunch. We'll be all right. No, they are well disciplined. You know how you get to goals? It's called discipline. And unfortunately, it comes down to a lot of times self-discipline. If you want to pray and know that you are moving in line with God and moving in line with God's will and finding out his heart and living out that dream, you've got to write it down. If you don't write it down, you'll forget about it. And then you don't even know when God answered your prayer. You know, where you're sitting at this morning is one of God's answered prayers. From the very beginning when I was praying for Gateway, I've still got it in my desk drawer. I pull it out probably about once every 2 weeks to remind me of how God worked and what I've got written on there in ink pen, scratched out, scribbled over the top, and all these other things. It said, Lord, find us a place that we can worship in, but I want the owner to see us as an asset. Let me tell you something. The owner of this place, Nick Costas, is one of my best friends. He would tell you that. We love to talk to one another. He loves us. We love him. It's been awesome. And I kept thinking, wow, a guy in a comedy club and all this other stuff, man, he's going to hate what we're all about. No, man. Yesterday we had the Broken Arrow team here, and he happened to be downstairs, and I had told some people, hey, you know, if he wants to come by, you know, blah, blah, blah. I get over to the game. He calls me on the phone like, Alex, I am so sorry that I missed you. I got up there as soon as I could. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there thinking, why would he even care? And I go back to that prayer that I prayed over 2 years ago. Pray specifically. Write it down. Second question is this. Why should he answer this? If you can't tie it to a promise of God, you're going to find yourself struggling to figure out how it's part of God's will. God's will is pretty big. It really is. But a lot of times, it's pretty selfish when we pray, isn't it? Have you noticed how many people throughout Scripture would say, God, you promised us this? It's good to remind God of his promises. It's not like he went, oh, yeah. But it's good for us to know what they are. It's not that God forgot. It's good that we need to know what they are. God's got some incredible promises, and his leaders would go before him in confidence. You notice that's what 1 John 5 said, and we have this confidence, this boldness to go before God and to ask him. Go before him and remind him, God, you said that you cared about people. When I pray for Cleveland, that's the way I pray. God, you said you loved people, which means you love this group of people. God, you said you wanted to do something great, which means you want to do something great here. God, you said that you will that all men should be saved. God, I believe that that is here. I will tell you that over the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to have a meeting with an individual. We haven't talked about Nexus in several months, and so I'm just going to kind of end it with this morning so that you can be praying with us, okay? Been trying to have a meeting with an individual for a couple weeks and just kept getting pushed back. Supposed to meet Thursday, supposed to meet Friday. It's gotten pushed to tomorrow. And I will tell you that in my mind's eye, now it may not be, but in my mind's eye and in my heart, I think it's one of the most critical meetings, if not the most critical meeting that we can have about Nexus. Okay, I'm not going to tell you all that that meeting's about. I'm just going to tell you, I want you to pray God's will for it. And I'm good with that. Okay, whatever comes and starts to come from that, I'll know. Man, we've prayed and fasted with some of our leaders and some people around the United States have been praying and fasting for us about this meeting.
And I've also been working for about 6 months to have another meeting. And guess when it's going to happen? On Tuesday. And I'm just like, Lord, I don't need all those at once. All right. If we could have spaced those out just a little bit. And here's what I know. The two most critical meetings that I could ever fathom us having are happening on Monday and Tuesday. I don't know which way it'll go. Is that mean it'll never happen? It'll come about or quickly or long? I have no idea. But what I would ask you to do is this. Let's pray specifically, okay? The gentleman that I'm supposed to meet tomorrow is critical for the vision of Nexus, okay? The group of guys that I'm supposed to meet on Tuesday is critical for that. And what I would ask you to pray is God's will with that, but most specifically this, that God would show his favor. I don't believe in Nexus to be a great business tool for us. It may end up being, that's great and wonderful, whatever. But to me, when I pray and I look at Cleveland and I pray that God would show us what it is that we really need to be doing to kind of go to that next level, to really impact a city that I know that God loves and has hope for, even though there's a lot of hopeless people here. When I look at Nexus, I'm like, God, I can't think of a better evangelism tool and a way to meet people to break down the barriers in that. And if you've got something greater, then erase it, chunk it, and give us that one. I'm good with that. I'm dead to all that. If Nexus comes about and it can be that, wonderful. If it's not going to be that, I don't want it. I won't have any part of it. And I would ask you to pray those two things. God, your will be done. And God, give us favor, because here's where we're at in all of this. We can do nothing at this point without God's intervention. We won't be able to pull it off by ourselves, and that's a good point to be at. And it's kind of one of those moments that I hope we wake up and we go, what's that? And I don't know which way it'll go. I really don't. But I'm good with it either way. And what I would ask for all of us to do is this, to pray specifically, personally, and then as a church, that we would see God's will in this. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. Lord, I know that your will can't be circumvented. We can't convince you to do something. We are not in control of you. And so, Father, forgive me, forgive us where we've tried to control you and make you into kind of our little puppet or Santa Claus or whatever. Lord, I pray that we would have some moments that we pray specifically. And maybe it doesn't get answered the way that we thought that it would. But we walk away going, that was a God thing. It wasn't what I thought that it was going to be, but I can see how God specifically answered my prayer. And Father, I pray for our church as a whole, as we move forward, as we try to make an impact in Cleveland, that while we are just a few, the wonderful news is you don't need many. You've proven that in your word over and over again, and it's probably a good thing we're not a mighty group because we would probably get the credit. And so, God, I don't know what you're going to do with Gateway over the next few months, next few years. I don't know. But, Lord, I look forward to opening our eyes when you open our eyes and we can say, what's that? And so, God, give us your wisdom, give us your discernment. Father, help us to love people. Help us to tell other people about your love, regardless of whether we meet in a comedy club or we meet in a cafe or coffee house or whether we meet in a storefront or whatever happens. God, that we would find out what's upon your heart, so we can be a part of the dream that you have for this city.
And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.